Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 16, the divine and demoniac natures, text number 4. Dambo darpa bhimascha. Krodha porusham eva cha. Agyanam chabijatasya. Partha sampadam asurim. Dhamba, pride. Darpa, arrogance. Abhimana, conceit. Cha, and. Krodha, anger. Porusham, harshness. Eva, certainly. Cha, and. Agyanam, ignorance. Cha, and. Abhijatasya, of one who is born of. Partha, asanaprita. Sampadam, the qualities. Asurim, other demoniac nature. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, asanaprita. Purport. In this verse, the royal road to hell is described. The demoniac want to make a show, a religion, an advancement in spiritual science, although they do not follow the principles. They're always arrogant or proud of possessing some type of education or so much wealth. They desire to be worshipped by others and demand respectability, although they do not command respect. Over trifles, they become very angry and speak harshly, not gently. They do not know what should be done and what should not be done. They do everything whimsically, according to their own desire. They do not recognize any authority. These demoniac qualities are taken on them by from the beginning of their bodies and the wombs of their mothers. And as they grow, they manifest all these inauspicious qualities. Dambo darpa bhimascha krodha porusham evacha agana abhijatasya partha sampadam asrim. Pride, arrogance, conceit, anger, harshness, and ignorance, these qualities belong to those of demoniac nature, asanaprita. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Pristai Bhutte Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatunde Vangoravani Vicharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskadhyade Siddharna. So Krishna has discrimination. Generally, we speak of spiritual life as everyone is good, everyone is beautiful. Don't criticize anyone. But half of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is criticizing everyone. So does that mean that Krishna is not a nice person? Everywhere he goes, he's critical. No, he's the one who's actually properly has the proper criticism, but he's criticizing. Not out of arrogance, but out of just like in an umpire. Umpire means one who judges things. He simply calls things as he sees them. That he himself has said, Satvam rajas tamayiti guna prakriti sambhava ibananti mahabaho dehe dehinam avyam. That the material nature consists of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. When the conditioned soul comes in contact with these modes, he becomes conditioned by them. And there are certain characteristics of each one of the modes, which Krishna has already explained in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It is not that one can be in ignorance and display the qualities of goodness, nor if one is acting goodness will they display the qualities of ignorance or passion. So one can understand what mode of material nature one is influenced by the qualities one exhibits. And here, the lower modes of nature, passion and ignorance, are manifested by certain qualities, such as Dumbo, Dharpa, Bhimascha, Krodha, Purusham, Evacha. So one cannot claim he's a good person, but he's proud, he's arrogant, he's harsh, except, but he's a good person anyhow. Just like sometimes we become enamored by people, oh, they're actually nice people. We think they're even nicer than the devotees. Although if you were a cow, you probably wouldn't appreciate them very much, especially when they try to eat you. He's a nice cow killer. He's a gentle one. He only eats the dead animal with a knife and fork. He never eats it with his hands, so he's a gentleman. So that's not Krishna's vision. In other words, Krishna is not so sentimental that everyone is good, we're all good. No, Prabhupada used to say, we're good and everyone else is bad. Not out of arrogance, but the fact is, what is good is liberation from the material energy, from the material concept of life. Everything else is really bad. After all, if we're going to spend eternity trying to become eternal, trying to figure out how to survive in this material world, in a place where you can't survive, then it's the biggest waste of time possible. To try to do something eternally impossible is obviously madness. But then again, everyone in this material world is crazy, so it's normal. Matter of fact, we encourage each other, oh, don't feel bad that you're crazy, you know. You're a nice, crazy person. Just like in the forest, there are so many different animals. Some of them are not very much appreciated, like the tiger or the lion, by other animals. But some animals are relatively gentle, like the deer and the porcupine and the rabbit. They're gentle. Everyone loves them. The nice, furry rabbit. But it's an animal. After all, it doesn't really have higher consciousness, and it is on the same level of consciousness as the other animals, simply interested in eating, sleeping, mating, defending, without any other higher goal of life. Similarly, when one is absorbed in the material concept of life, then even one gets all the necessities of life, then one simply thinks about false prestige. The whole idea is to serve this body, as Krishna will say in this chapter. Whatever the senses and the mind demand, then we serve them. But what is the senses and mind? What is the actual result of it? Nothing. There's no progress whatsoever of liberating ourselves from the material concept of life. There's no possibility of realizing that we're eternal, realizing how everyone else is eternal, having a loving relationship with Krishna and everyone else, and living happily ever after, which is the end of most, used to be the end of most movies. The couple goes away and they live happily ever after. But no one lives happily ever after here. No one lives happily, and no one lives ever after. Only that's simply a reflection of the spiritual world, and really, the happy ending is when the Vaikuntha airplane comes and takes us back to the spiritual world. That's the happy ending. Everything else, maybe if it's a progression towards that, then it's very auspicious. If not, then it's just a waste of time. And trying to enjoy pride and arrogance and conceit and anger, harshness, ignorance, if one thinks it's going to have a good time enjoying these things, well, you came to the wrong movement. Krishna doesn't agree with you. These are not auspicious. And as Krishna will say in the next verse, transcendental qualities that he explained before, although sometimes they not be of a very high nature, for instance, the qualities of a Shudra or the qualities of a Vaishya, are sometimes not taken as very auspicious. More auspicious than harshness and ignorance, etc. but then it's like service to others or gentleness, fortitude, freedom from envy and the passion for honor. They're quite elementary qualities, but they're very auspicious because they lead one to the transcendental platform. On the other hand, the demoniac qualities lead one to suffering. As soon as one may feel he has a good reason to be arrogant or harsh or whatever, but it'll simply lead to degradation. Therefore, Krishna says the transcendental qualities are conducive to liberation, whereas the demoniac qualities make for bondage. So really, human form of life is the opportunity to get out of bondage, to make one's life progressively more and more auspicious, happy, aware, helpful, productive. Therefore, Krishna will go over this 16th chapter and ultimately conclude that it's not auspicious at all. It leads to the lower species of life, and perpetually, one birth after birth. And even if we somehow or another avoid the lower species of life for some time, and then wind up in the lower species of life, and then wind up again in the heavenly planets, but it's all up and down, and very risky. I mean, we have to always be aware of the fact that the human form of life is so rare. The summer is coming, soon the ants will invade. And I'm sure there are, one year at least, there are more ants in my room than there were people in Slovenia. And some of them may have been mayors of Slovenia, of Ljubljana previously. Or they may have been big, big, wealthy personalities or influential persons. Now they're an ant. So what is the value of having a big position in the material world, and later on you become a grasshopper? What is the glory? And even if you go up to the heavenly planets, but how long can one stay there? And there's always a risk, eventually, of falling back down. So the only auspicious path is Krishna consciousness. So we can't imagine how fortunate we are to even be engaged somehow or another in Krishna's service, because this material world is a very dangerous place. I mean, go out to Tivoli Forest and see how many trees there are. Imagine if you had to go out of the temple and you had to go into the forest and you had to stand there naked during the winter. And they didn't give you any prasadam. Could you imagine how? And there are thousands and literally millions of trees in Slovenia standing naked in the forest. And no one has any sympathy for them, because they didn't take seriously when they had the human form of life. They didn't see the opportunity to become Krishna conscious and take it very seriously. And they wound up as trees. And that's not the lowest on the species. So anyhow, we're very fortunate. And when we find ourselves being conducted by what's explained here, alarm bells should go off, and we should try to rectify ourselves so that we can avoid any possibility of entering into the lower species of life again and having to go through a lot of problems. More than we can ever imagine. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Okay, Mukunda Maharaj.
So sometimes people might say, why only Krishna consciousness? There are so many spiritual paths.
Could you name one of them?
Yoga.
Yoga. What kind of spiritual path is yoga? What do they do that's spiritual? In the path. What is the alternative to Krishna consciousness? What is the spiritual path that will help us avoid They help us go back to the spiritual world. What spiritual path is that? And assure us that we're not going to enter into the lower species of life or into a more degraded position in our next lifetime. Certainly there are other religions and they offer some spiritual guidance, but generally they're mixed with ignorance and passion also. So they more or less will assure their practitioners are getting a human form of life, but not necessarily in the most favorable circumstances. Because it's mixed with ignorance and passion, animal killing, intoxication, illicit sex, speculation, it's mixed. So there's some acknowledgement of God and willing to serve Him, but not in a very sattvic way. What to speak of a spiritual way? You can't love someone you know nothing about. But still they acknowledge God, and they follow some principles, and therefore there's auspiciousness there, but it's mixed with inauspiciousness also. Otherwise, if there was some bona fide religions, we wouldn't have the society wouldn't be in the mess it is. Anything else? Hola, Granthiraj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.